السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن استنى بالسنة إلى يوم الدين. Verily all praises for Allah, the prayers of peace and blessing be upon His Prophet and Messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, upon His companions, His family, upon all of them and all of those who follow the path of right guidance until the day of judgment. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم أما بعد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان. Allah the Majestic and Sublime has revealed the Quran. He says, the most gracious, it is He who has taught the Quran, and it is He who has taught us speech and intelligence. Today, it has been mentioned that the Muslim Ummah is faced with many, many trials and confrontations. One certainly stands out in the minds of all of us, the recent disrespectful portrayal, dastardly portrayal of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a cartoon caricature. This picture has not yet reached the States as widespread as it has been published here in Europe. But it disturbs us no less that the Kuffar would have the audacity to have a contest on depicting our beloved Nabi wa Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah has said in Surah At-Tawbah, that is the chapter of the repentance, and among them are men who hurt the Prophet and say he is lending his ear to every news. Allah commands him to say he listens to what is best for you, he believes in Allah and has faith in the believers and is a mercy to those who believe. But those who hurt Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam will have a painful torment. They swear by Allah to you in order to please you, but it is more fitting that they should please Allah and His Messenger if they are believers. Know they not that whoever opposes and shows hostility to Allah and His Messenger, certainly for him will be the fire of hell to dwell therein forever. That is an extreme disgrace. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is no less than a rahmatul lil alameen, a mercy to all the world. And we can wonder how is it that a people can slander him so much and disgrace, attempt to disgrace and misrepresent him in the media, where he is made to be someone who represented Al-Habiyun. They put a fuse on top of his imamah, wa'audhu billahi min dhalik, thereby saying that all of us are terrorists. I have a challenge to us, to myself included, and to you. Are we upset with ourselves for not having given the da'wah to the extent that we should have to tell the world about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We should be as angry with ourselves as we are with the kuffar, if not more so, that they don't know who Muhammad is sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they have not heard from us about this rahmah, this mercy to the world. Are we living like Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam? Are we living like his companions? Are we showing the world the mercy that is Islam? Or are we letting our ummah to be manipulated and pushed into a reactionary mode so that every time something happens that is bad to the Muslims, we react, we blow up, so that the shaitan and his minions can say, see, look at those Muslims, didn't I tell you? They're nothing but hate mongers and violent foreign people anyway. Look how they're burning stuff up. Look how they want to kill all the kuffar. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. When we reflect on the sirah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find that his life is full of examples of this rahmah, of this mercy. And we have to ask ourselves, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were alive today, how would he respond to this act? Let us look back to the sirah of Muhammad. God's peace and blessing be upon him. We know the story of Taif, when he went to take the da'wah to the people of Taif, and how they brutally attacked him. They sent the children after him with rocks, pelting him, so much so that his blood filled his sandals. And he had the opportunity to summon the angels of Allah's mountain down on the people of Taif. What did he do? He made dua for them, that one day Allah will guide them to this deen. During the Meccan period, he was making sujood in the most prone position at the Kaaba. He was in sujood, glorifying his Lord. And the kuffar came and put the entrails, the guts of an animal, on his back. Did he break his salah, get up and leave, and run after the one who did that? Did he go and get his companion and say, go and take him out, seek vengeance from him? No. He patiently finished his salah. Fatima, radhiyallahu anha, removed the entrail from his back. When the Muslims gained interest into Mecca, with Fath Mecca, the conquest of Mecca, very little blood, if any, was shed. If any blood was shed, it was shed by mistake, by disobedience to the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had every right to demand from the kuffar, to demand from the enemies of Islam, who had persecuted the Muslims, who had put them out of their home, taken their property, tortured them, persecuted them, killed them. He had every right to take vengeance. What did he do? All of those who are in the house of Abu Sufyan are safe. Allahu Akbar. For indeed, he was a rahmati lil alameen, a mercy to the world. And this is the message that we need to take to the world, that Islam is a deen of mercy, of rahmah. For indeed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in Hadith Qudsi that Allah has said, إِنَّ رَحْمَتِي تَغْلِبُ غَضَبِي, that verily my mercy prevails over my anger, my wrath. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conveys to us that the mercy of Allah is comprised of 100 parts. 100 parts. And everything that is at our disposal, the air that we breathe, the water that we drink, the food we eat, the clothing that covers our modesty, keeps us warm, the shelter that we dwell in, everything in its creation represents only 1/100th of the rahmah of Allah. MashaAllah. And that rahmah, that 1/100th of the rahmah, is available for not only the Muslim, not only the mu'min, it's available for the kuffar alike. They benefit from the sunshine, they benefit from the water, from the air. MashaAllah. Sometimes it looks as though the kuffar, they have more of the rahmah, that 1/100th, than the Muslims do. In fact, they're getting some of our share. We're letting them come in and take it in some cases. But the Prophet ﷺ went on to say, even the love that the creatures show for their for the offspring, the most venomous and vicious of creatures. They show love and mercy, compassion to their offspring. This is the 1/100 of the Rahmah of Allah. But the other 99 parts, Allahu Akbar, are being held in reserve for the believers. Alhamdulillah. So brothers and sisters, we have an obligation to tell the world about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let them know that yes, Islam, it promotes peace through the submission and surrender to the will of Allah, but it is also about justice. It's also about adl, about fairness, about truth. It is also a deen of mercy, of rahmah. What do we need in order to demonstrate this compassion, this mercy? There's some essential ingredients that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us in the Quran and that our beloved Nabi wa Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have demonstrated. One of which is sabr, patience. We need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us more patience. Patience with ourselves, patience with our own nafs, patience with each other, with one another, patience with our family, with the community, with our imam, patience with the various masajids, because we have, mashallah, I hear that there are as many as 100 or more masajids right here in London. And we need to have patience with the non-Muslims. We have to use hikmah when we are responding to the challenges of the disbelievers. Even the ants, when they deal with a problem, you don't find a whole colony of ants going to solve their problem. You find just a few to go take care of business. So yes, we as Muslims, we should be disturbed and angry that our beloved Nabi wa Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being portrayed in the media as he has been. And even worse slander has been done. But brothers and sisters, we have Muslims who are dying. We have the blood of the Muslim being spilled in many, many places around the globe. Where is our voice then? Are we representing, giving the correct portrayal of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam so that they will know not to portray such cartoons in their media? Are we telling the world who Muhammad is? Do they know who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in order not to do that? Or are we just a community that has to be led by incidents and they push out buttons and we respond? I like to tell our brothers and sisters in the prison, because a lot of things happen in the prison. If you knew what went on in some of these prisons, you would really, really be upset. But I tell them, because in the prison, for example, in South Carolina, the Muslim men, they can't wear their beard. They make them shave their beard. The Muslim ladies, they can't wear the khimar. It comes a security issue. If they do a strip search, they think nothing of it. To make them strip and do a full body cavity search. One brother in Canada, mashallah, I mentioned earlier, I talked to him in my last visit to Toronto. He was told that he had a visitor. And when he got to the visitation room, then they told him, oh, you don't have a visitor. That was a mistake. He had to do a strip search when he came up there, and then when he left, he had to do a strip search. But this was all based on a mistake. So they ridiculed him. They humiliated him, and he vowed that day not to take it anymore, that one of them was going to have to die because he wasn't going to submit to what they were telling him to do. And he went on a hunger strike. He talked to me that day, and he said, better people than him have been in worse situations than that. And we have to remember that. And I tell the brothers when they come up to me and they say this and that is happening, we cannot allow ourselves to be manipulated to the level of the kuffar, where we come down to their level and begin to behave like them, because they're not our teacher. Our teacher is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best teacher. And just like the farmer, when he plants that seed and he grows that vegetation, he grows the plant from the ground, he has to put fertilizer on it. That plant needs fertilizer to grow. Just like the farmer, when he plants the seed, he has to put fertilizer on his plant. Every tree needs some dung. And the evil that we see doing by the kuffar against Islam, all it's going to do is make more Muslims, alhamdulillah. So we shouldn't sweat it. We shouldn't allow ourselves and our time to be preoccupied by things that may not warrant the type of response that we see happening. We should measure our response. Certainly, boycotting their product, recalling our ambassadors, sending their ambassadors home, alhamdulillah, this is effective. It's to isolate them. I've heard it said that one of their leaders said, what they took 20 years to build up in terms of an economic relationship with the Middle East, with Muslim countries, has been destroyed in a matter of days. Alhamdulillah, let them feel it where they hurt. When I see Muslims burn down embassies, burn figures in effigy, it makes me remember back in the 60s in the United States when we would have the riots because of the assassination of Martin Luther King. We had riots, and many, many of the major inner city areas were set on fire. And when we stopped to think about it, the harm was done not to those who were oppressing us, the harm was done to our own selves, to our own neighborhood. So we have to use measured response, inshallah ta'ala, and ask ourselves, how would Rasulullah alayhi salam respond to this? By no means should we accept the disbelievers, the non-Muslims, to denigrate Islam in any way. But this should be seen as an opportunity to tell the world about our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to tell the world about Islam. And inshallah ta'ala, we're going to see more Muslims as a result of this episode. Because this only shows their ignorance. But for those who are truly seeking guidance, who have tried everything, and they don't know what else to turn to except what they haven't tried, which is Islam, inshallah ta'ala, if Allah wills, He will guide them. So we shouldn't worry about those who make fitna for the believing men and the believing women. Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمُ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ الْحَرِيقِ. Those who make fitna for believing men and believing women, and they don't make tawbah, they don't repent, that Allah has for them a terrible burning and a terrible punishment. So just like we have to do the good deed to earn the 99 parts of Allah's rahmah, we have to earn the paradise by His mercy, inshallah. Those who are destined to hellfire, they got to do the deeds of evil to get there. So let them do the deeds of evil, alhamdulillah. We continue to do the deeds of good, inviting the people to all that is good, inshallah ta'ala, and commanding or prohibiting what is evil, what is wrong. Tell the people that Muhammad is no more than a mercy to the world. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So we need patience, we need sabr. We also need the ingredient which we find lacking in many of our communities, and that is the ingredient of muhabbah, love of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have a choice. Do we love Allah and His Messenger, or do we love this dunya? Hubullah wa nabi, ahubu dunya. Our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in an authentic hadith narrated to us on the authority of Thawban, the free slave, radiallahu anhu, that the nations will rush in upon you as if you are a plate of food for hungry eaters. The nations will rush in upon us as if we were no more than a plate for hungry eaters. And the companions asked, Ya Rasulullah, will we be few? Will it be because our numbers are small? He said, no, on the contrary, you will be large numbers. So certainly he was not talking about the time during the Meccan period or even the Medina period when the Muslim community was small. Look at our community today, mashallah. The Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one-fourth, perhaps at least one-fifth of the world's population. But he said, we will be in great numbers. However, our work will be like the scum on the sea that the waves throw off, the frost that the waves throw off on the shore. And that Allah will remove from the disbelievers, from the enemies of Islam, the fear that they had. And we know in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the kuffar heard of Muhammad alayhi wasallam, that he was coming or that his army was coming, a month in advance, they will be shaking in their boots, looking to get out of the way, alhamdulillah. Where is that today? Where is the army of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The blood of the Muslim is cheap. It's being spilled all over the world. So the Prophet alayhi wa sallam was not talking about that time. And then he said, and Allah will put wahin into your heart. And the companions asked, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is wahin? He said, wahin is the love of the dunya. Love of the dunya, the material world, and fear of death. Fear of death. So each of us, we have to take account of ourselves. Do we truly deserve this great ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us? Are we really living up to what we say we believe? Do we take daily account? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that every person begins his day as a vendor of his soul, a merchant of his soul, either setting it free or bringing about its ruin. So this is a life transaction. Islam is a life transaction. From the time we wake up in the morning to the time we go to sleep, and even after we go to sleep, we are to be upon the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Only then will we be worthy of and deserving of the rahmah that Allah has in store for us, inshallah ta'ala. So, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put in our hearts the muhabbah for Allah and His Messenger. More than anything in this dunya. More than our fathers, more than our sons, indeed. Our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us, none of us are truly believers until we love him more than we love our fathers and our sons. Indeed, all of mankind. In another translation, or another version, it included, until we love him more than even our wealth. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I see that the Muslims here in London, at least those whom I have met, mashallah, you have a very, very beautiful and conscious respect for this deen that I wish, inshallah ta'ala, we could translate back to the States. But unfortunately, we are on lockdown. I call it lockdown USA. And a lot of our leaders are walking on eggshells because so many of them are being swept up and taken away, locked up. A lot of Muslim leaders can't even travel, leave the country today. So it's going to take those of you who we don't fear. We cannot fear the plots of the oppressors and the enemies of Islam. To do all we can to stand up for what we say we believe, to strive to be a better Muslim today than we were yesterday. We are in the new year, Muharram, 1427 Ba'd al-Hijra. This is a good time to reevaluate ourselves, to take account of ourselves. As Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu said, take account of yourself before you take an account of. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us better Muslims this year than we were last year. Inshallah ta'ala, we will see this deen flourish, even though the polytheists, they detest it, they hate it. Allah has promised, and His promise is true. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرُهُ عَلَى دِينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. That verily it is He who has sent the messenger with the guidance and the religion of truth, the religion of truth, so that it will prevail over all ways, even though the idol worshippers, they detest it, they hate it. We have to show the world that Islam is a mercy for them, that it is a solution to their problem. MashaAllah. Just recently, we witnessed the funeral of a great leader, or the wife of a great leader in the United States this past week, the wife of the widow of the slain Dr. Martin Luther King. And they had her funeral on TV. It was an all-day event. I happened to catch a small portion of it, and alhamdulillah, the portion that I caught was very, very significant because I heard the commentator make a very, very interesting observation about a problem that they have that we as Muslims shouldn't have, that by Islam we don't have. But because of our inability to come to Islam like we should in all fullness, as Allah says, أُدْخُلُ فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَةً, we still have the same problem in some cases, but not as much. What problem am I talking about? The problem of racism, where they said that it is a paradox, it was irony, it was an ironic situation that in the churches of America, you still have racism, where the white folk can't worship with the black folk, and the black folk can't worship with the white folk. I said, MashaAllah, listen to that. Islam is the solution. Because alhamdulillah, you can go into any masjid anywhere in the world and bow down to your Lord with your brother from wherever he is in the world. Allahu Akbar. This is a great mercy. The solution to the problem of racism is in Islam. But we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not look to our outer forms and our outer shapes. He's created us in many variety of forms and shapes. Many nations and tribes. So that we may get to know one another. These are articles. And then he says, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ, that verily the most honored among you is not the one with the white skin or the black skin, the thick hair or the thin hair, the thick nose or the thin nose, the wealthy man or the poor man. The one who is most honored in the sight of Allah is the one who has the most taqwa, one who has the most consciousness and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The world needs this message, brothers and sisters. And we need to do all we can to raise the level of da'wah, where the message will be conveyed to every household so that we will see a healing take place. For indeed, the Quran, it is a healing. It is a healing for every problem that the society has. MashaAllah ta'ala, in the prisons in America, the great majority of the Muslims who are practicing Islam in the prisons, they became Muslim after their incarceration because they had tried everything. And they found that now Islam, alhamdulillah, is the only way to turn their life around. We need to know that there's many people outside of prison Israelites that are more, who is just as criminal and just as sick, that need the guidance of Islam. But are we telling our neighbors about Islam? Are we telling them about the mercy to the world, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do they know about Muhammad, or are we going to leave it up to the non-Muslims to tell about Islam? Let me tell you a little something about what's going on in the States. In the city that I live in, called Columbia, South Carolina, there's a university that used to be known as the Columbia Bible College. Now they changed their name to really send the message. They're known now as the Columbia International University, and they have students from all over the world come to their school. Just from hearing that name, you wouldn't think that they had anything to do with religion. Columbia International University, but what is their purpose? I believe in April of 2000, April of 2003 or 2004, there was an article published in a magazine called Mother Jones. Mother Jones. You can research it on the internet. You may have to order the article, but if you email me, we'll be glad to send you a copy. On the cover of this article, they had what appeared to be a Muslim act. Muslim lady, niqabi woman, mashallah, with niqab and khimar. But the title of the article was called Stealth Crusade. Stealth Crusade. Around her neck was a crucifix. What was their purpose? In this article, they made the open statement and claim to wipe out Islam. That their purpose was none other than to wipe out Islam. Now, they're barking up the wrong tree. Because they would never be able to do it. Man plans and Allah plans, and Allah is the best of planners, right? So do we let ourselves get upset by that? No, let them earn the hellfire. They want more hellfire? Let them have it. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. The more fitnah they make for the Muslims, mashallah ta'ala, the more mercy comes our way. Inshallah. They used to come to our masjid for da'wah. But we let them know, we know what you're up to. And we know that Allah will judge your intentions. We know why you come here. You don't come here to learn Islam. You come here to find out the weaknesses of the Muslims. And that's what they're doing. They send missionaries to your country, to your country, to your country, and to find the weak Muslims who don't know deen, who don't know the knowledge of our deen, to draw them out of Islam and to bring them to Tawhid. They will dress up like Muslims, even take Shahada. They will lie to do anything to destroy this Islam. One of the things that represents the mercy of our Lord to us is that we are one ummah. That a Muslim is a brother, a Muslim, ahu Muslim. That we are brothers to one another. That when one part of the ummah hurts, the whole ummah should feel the suffering, should feel the pain and suffer from sleeplessness and fever. This is what our Rasulullah alayhi wasallam has said. So brothers and sisters, inshallah ta'ala, let us ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us true representatives of ad-deen al-Islam. Let us ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the lovers of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. Let us ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us worthy of this great ni'mah. Because He has promised that He will remove us. If we don't do this work, that He will remove us and bring a better people, another people who will do this work and who will love Him as He should be loved. So what is it, ya akhwati fillah? Hub ad-dunya or hub Allah wa nabi? Is it the love of Allah and His Messenger, or is it love of dunya? When we have differences of opinion that create separation and splitting, this is from the shaitan. One of the biggest problems that we've had in America, and I know it's been happening here, is that students of knowledge have been assassinating the character of one another. Muslims eating the flesh of one another in the name of ilm, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And Allah says, and they did not differ until knowledge came to them. We become like drivers in the night with our high beams on, driving down a dark, unlit road. And another one is the Muslim, our brother's coming down the road facing us, and he's got his high beams lit. And neither one of them want to be humble enough to dim the light. So next thing you know, they crash and have a big accident. And that's what's happening all over the globe. Muslims being thrown off of the minhaj, Muslims being, the character being assassinated, and we worried about the kuffar making fun of us. You know, I think we do ourselves. Our greatest enemy is our own selves and the jahl, the ignorance of this deen. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed you with a wonderful imam who I believe is dedicated to helping the knowledge level of this jama'at grow. And that's what we need all over the world, the correct knowledge of this deen according to the authentic sources. For indeed, Rasulullah, he said that everything in this dunya, ad-dunya mal'una, مَلْعُونَ مَا فِيهَا, that everything in this material world is cursed, إِلَّا ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ, except for the remembrance of Allah. وَمَا وَلَا, and what reminds you of Allah, وَعَالِمُونَ أَوْ مُتَعَالِمُونَ, and the scholars of our deen, of our ummah, and the students of knowledge. Everything besides that, if it doesn't remind us of Allah, it's a curse upon us. It's a burden. We need to consider cutting it loose. So let us, dear brothers and sisters, inshallah ta'ala, take account of ourselves, inshallah ta'ala, and ask Allah to bless us with the muhabba that is due to Him. For indeed, Allah commanded the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam to say, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Tell the people, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you really love God, follow me, that is, follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah will love you and forgive you your sins, for indeed Allah is the forgiving, the merciful. You ask anybody today, we have non-Muslims here tonight, I believe, do you love God? Most people will say yes. But they don't have a clue as to who God is. They think that God is the creation. In simple terms, Islam has been sent to us to tell the people, to show the people how to worship the Creator and not the creation. Worship Creator and not creation. You see, the type of love that they talk about is the type of love that will let you get away with wrong, with corruption. You know? If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. That was a song from the 60s. I know back in the days of Jahiliyyah, they used to sing that. You tell your honey, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. What kind of love is that? No, the love that we're commanded to have is a conditional love. And it is conditioned upon our obedience to Allah. Alhamdulillah. So Allah is Ar-Rahman, and His mercy, mashallah, is comprised of 100 parts. It is a representation of His love for His creation. And He has given 1/100th of it to the believers and the disbelievers alike. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, if this dunya had been the weight of a mosquito's wing or a gnat's wing, that he would not have given the kuffar a mere sip of water. Allahu Akbar. So this dunya means nothing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do we look like chasing after it? Dust chasing dust. Like Pac-Man. Astaghfirullah, I mean. Let us be ambassadors for this deen. We have to be like Mus'ab ibn Umair, the first ambassador to this deen of this ummah. By whose efforts, mashallah, every house in Yathrib was touched by the message of Islam as a result of his efforts. Alhamdulillah. Here was a man who, as a young boy in the community, before he became Muslim, he was living a life with a silver spoon in his mouth. All of his needs were taken care of. He had the finest clothes, the finest food, to find his home. His family took care of him until he said, La ilaha illallah wa Muhammadan Rasulullah. Then his family banished him. His mother even imprisoned him, attempted to imprison him in her own house until he renounced Islam. Did he do it? No. He was willing to part with dunya. We have to be the same way. We have to be willing to part with this dunya if called upon. We have to be willing to even part with our lives if called upon. Because we don't know how Allah is going to test us. He may test us, as he tells us in the Quran, he tests us with something of fear, something of loss of our wealth, our property, the fruits of our labor, even the loss of our lives. وَبَشْرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. But give glad tidings to the patient one. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Those who say, when the calamity occurs, verily to Allah we belong, and to Allah is our return. Dear brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I've enjoyed my visit here in London for the first time, and I hope, inshallah ta'ala, to have an opportunity to come again. And we welcome you to come and visit us in South Carolina, inshallah ta'ala. We promise we'll give you a tour of our prison. And we won't keep you, inshallah ta'ala. Inshallah ta'ala. Well, we'd love to have you come. It's a wonderful experience to reach across the globe and to know that the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so vibrant and alive, and we're growing, alhamdulillah. And we see a revival taking place where the Muslims are returning to Quran and Sunnah. This is a mercy in itself from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there are those who are hell-bent on defining and redefining our Islam and who the Muslims are. Believe me, go to a website called rand.org, rand.org, and if you search that site for a report entitled Civil Democratic Islam, Partners and Strategies, check that out. Did a Muslim like this? Absolutely not. If you read that report, you will see the plot unfold, how they are attempting to divide the Muslims one against another, define the Muslims, and actually tell the Muslims which Muslim you should be following and which Muslim you shouldn't. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. The United States Air Force, they have a 500-plus page report on Islam and Muslims, about 2 inches thick. You can get it offline. It's there. They researched all of your homelands, all of our homelands, where we come from, and they know what's going on, and they're planning, not a year in advance, 5 years in advance, 20, 50, 100 years in advance, how to deal with the new boogeyman. Because, you know, communism is no longer the enemy now. So they got to have a foe. Unfortunately, they're trying to get us to believe that it's not against Islam. No. As Malcolm said, we shouldn't allow ourselves to be bamboozled, hoodwinked. Lulled to sleep, thinking that I'm okay, you're okay. No. Allah says, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ أَعْبِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ وَلَا أَنَا أَعْبِدُ مَا أَعْبَدْتُمْ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ أَعْبِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَلِيُّ الدِّينَ. To there be their way, to them be their way, and to us our at Deen of Islam. We got Muslims even today in America, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله, who are attempting to tell the Muslims to stop saying that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the last messenger of Allah. Make dua for them. Ask that Allah guide them, inshallah. We got Muslims that say, you don't have to give da'wah. The Christians can stay Christian. It's okay for them to be Christian. We got some good Christians. We got some Christians that are better than the Muslims. La ilaha illallah. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us about those who do good in this life and they think that they're earning some good by their good deeds? Allah says that on the day of judgment, that those good deeds will be given no weight, no value, because they made mockery of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they are in for a terrible punishment. So we owe it to humanity, to the sons of Adam, the daughters of Adam, to convey this message, to be da'i. Da'wah is the fard ain upon all of us in this time because of the threat and the attack against Islam. So we have to tell our neighbors about Islam. Tell them about the sirah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tell them about his life. From the time he was an orphan, to the time he was taken care of by his uncle, Abu Talib, to the time he was hired by Lady Khadija, to the time that they were wedded in marriage, alhamdulillah. And she supported him until she died. And she became the first follower of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this shows us that the da'wah doesn't begin outside, it begins in our homes. What do we gain if we give all the da'wah in the world to society and we neglect the da'wah in our homes? One question that came tonight is that the husband is giving da'wah outside, is not giving the da'wah in the home. May Allah correct us, inshallah ta'ala, and enable us to fulfill our responsibility, because we're going to be held accountable for that. Kulukum ra'in wa kulukum an ra'iyatihi. Each one of us are a governor, and we held accountable for what we have been put in charge of. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. It's been a pleasure to be with you. Please forgive me for whatever mistakes I've made. I ask Allah's forgiveness for my errors and deficiencies. Whatever good has been said is from Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك ونشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت ونستغفرك ونتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.